Let me start where we were this morning, and I will head off in a different direction. If you weren't here this morning, you won't know the difference. So, 2 Corinthians, yes, I said I had 25 points, and I only did four this morning. 2 Corinthians 6, 11 to 13, and it's sort of become one of those favourite verses for us as a church over the years. It's something that I think, you know, speaks a little bit about our culture and the way that we desire to function. And I think it's just beautiful the way that it's written in the Message version, the way that Eugene Peterson sort of brings out what Paul was trying to get across. And he says, Dear Corinthians, I can't tell you how much I long for you to enter this wide open, spacious life. We didn't fence you in. The smallness that you feel comes from within you. Your lives aren't small, but you're living them in a small way. I'm speaking as plainly and openly as I can with great affection. Open up your lives, live openly and expansively. And as you hear that, I think most of us want to live an open, expansive life. No one wants to be fenced in. No one wants to feel like they are restricted. No one wants to feel like they've got limitations. We've got small children at the moment. You just start, you know, putting boundaries around and telling them where they can go and where they can stop. And no one wants to be fenced in. You know, people want to live widely and openly and expansively. It's something that's in us. You know, we are created in the image of God. He didn't create you to live small. He created you to live large. He created you to live a wide, open, expansive life. Not a small life, not a restricted life, but an open, expansive life. And so often, the reality of our life doesn't feel like that, does it? And as I was saying this morning, I talk to people regularly. And sometimes, you know, even when we talk to our team and all the things that are going on and stuff that's happening, We can often feel the opposite. We can feel like that we don't have the capacity to manage all the things that are going on in our world. We feel like, you know, inside us, it's like if somebody just gives me another thing, or if there's something else that I have to carry, I'm just going to explode. Anyone been there? You often feel like that, don't you? But interestingly enough, Jesus didn't talk about us having to have more stuff rammed into our world. He didn't say, you know, you've just got to pick more stuff up. He talked more about being empty to be filled. You know, he said, blessed are the poor, for they shall inherit the earth. And he wasn't saying, blessed are you because you're poor. He was saying, blessed are the poor in spirit. Those who actually understand their need for something greater than themselves are those that will inherit. And then he said, come to me, all who are thirsty, those that hunger and thirst. Another place, you know, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. And he talks about receiving living water that will never run out. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 to 11. I want to draw some stuff out of this tonight. And it's talking about the way that Jesus himself was able to be emptied. And it says this. Paul's writing and he says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant and being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore God exalted him to the highest place, and gave him the name that is above every other name, And at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. See, he decided to empty himself of his divine attributes, his rights, and be like a so that he could be a vessel that was fully filled with the purpose and the will of his Father. Jesus, who was God, decided that he would allow himself to be emptied of his divine attributes. So much so that all that he was filled with was the will of his Father. And you think, oh yeah, well that's sort of obvious, isn't it? Because they were one and all that. So of course that will be right. But you know what? It says that he was found in appearance and likeness of a man. In other words, he became like you. He battled with fatigue. He battled with capacity. He battled with ego. Imagine you are God. And no one gets it. And he allowed himself to be empty of all those things so that he could actually be filled with the will and purpose of his Father. And as Paul writes about that, he says, you know, in your relationships with each other, you should be like that of Jesus. So how do we get on with each other? Well, we can draw a lot from that. So in contrast to Jesus, we must be emptied of ourselves in order to be available for him to use. I think if we want to live that wide, open, spacious life, it actually doesn't start with our life being filled with more of us. It actually starts with it being emptied of more of us so that we can be filled with more of him. So that as we are emptied of ourselves, we are filled with the presence and the power and the will and the purpose of God. Suddenly, our ability to live a spacious, wide open life becomes a reality because it's not full of all the things that crowd our life. When our minds are filled up, there's no room for others. There is no room for the new. There is no room for the unexpected and no room for God to move or surprise us. I reckon openness to God could be just one of the brave steps to empty anything that might be blocking our spiritual growth and freedom. Verse 6 says, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage? Imagine being at high school. And you had all the divine power of God. And having to get through high school without using it to your advantage. That'd be pretty hard, wouldn't it? So how can we function well with people in our world? How can we make relationships work? How can we empty ourselves of ourselves? I think number one, and this is straight from these verses, that we've got to place relationship over status. Place relationship over with status. Because Jesus placed that relationship he had with the Father over the fact that he was God himself. He actually replaced the will of the Father over the fact that he was God. So he chose to actually put that relationship he had with the Father, because he always talked. He always talked about the will of the Father. He said, you know, I don't do anything unless I've seen the Father do it. So there was this connection and relationship with the Father that he placed above the status that he rightfully had, the fact that he was God. He chose to put relationship over status. And I think if you want to get on with people, you will place relationship over status. If you want to be a good boss, you don't walk around telling everybody you're the boss. You actually value those that work for you, and you place the relationship that you have with them higher than the status that you have in the position that you've been appointed to. And in the kingdom, it's the same. You know, we often get responsibility, and it is the relationship that is much more important than the status. The Father's will became more important than his human needs, his human ego. Service became more valuable than self-importance. In verse 7 it says, rather he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant. Number 2, I think to function well with people in our world, for relationships to work, to be able to empty ourselves of ourselves, we've actually got to place service above status. We've got to place service above status. He didn't just serve out of doing the right thing. It says, rather he made himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant. He didn't just serve because he had to come and serve, but he took on the nature of a servant. In other words, he laid his status down, and the nature that he took on was that of a servant, somebody who was willing to serve. Somebody who was willing to look at people and saying, hey, what do they need? What they need is much more important than my status and who I am in this moment. And so often we get so wound up and bound up and full of, you know, even though we know what's right and we think we're doing the right thing, but we get so bound up and wound up in what we need and what we think's right and what we think is fair and equitable to us. We live in a world that equality is talked about all the time. And another version says that he did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. But he took on the very nature of a servant. In other words, you know, the needs of the people in his world became much more important than who he was. He was God. You can't have a higher status than that, can you? And it doesn't matter who we are, we're never too important to serve others. And as Christians, we say, yeah, yeah, of course. But we just sort of get in the swing of it. And we somehow feel that people should serve us. Oh, yeah, I'm a pastor. I should have my own car park. I should have this. People should do that. Come on, serve me. And we know it's not right, but somehow we sort of come to expect it. See, there's actually a difference too between that nature of serving and honor where somebody else chooses to honor. But we've got to make sure that service is much more important than status. One of the most ugly things is when we've got to continually talk about our status, isn't it? Get on social media for 0.5 of a second and it's full of it. Look at me. I just wonder. Most people, after spending a bit of time on social media, feel worse than they did when they started. Anyone been there? It doesn't give. It takes. We'll use it. It's cool. I'm not here to talk against that. But I'm just saying that we've got to make sure that service becomes so much more important to us than our status. That, you know, when you lift somebody else up, God's the one that will actually lift you up. And there's an amazing freedom in that. There's so much pressure in trying to maintain a status or an image or all that stuff. It just is so hard. to function well with people in our world, for our relationships to work. Listen to what it says. It says, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death of a cross. I think we've got to place humility above entitlement. Place humility above entitlement. I think entitlement leads to disappointment. If you feel entitled, if you feel really entitled, I can guarantee it will not be long before you feel disappointed. Because if I walk in here and because of my position and I feel entitled to certain treatment, the chances are I'm not going to get it. Chances are everyone else is not going to get it right, and I am going to feel disappointed. In your own family. If you feel like as a parent or as the house owner or whatever that you are entitled to something, mostly people won't get it. You will be disappointed. In your workplace, you've got a degree. You've got a better understanding of a whole lot of stuff than anybody else, and you feel entitled to respect. You won't necessarily get it. You will be disappointed. But I think we've got to understand that if we place humility, in other words, not thinking that we are entitled to anything above that, it's a much, much, much more empowering place to live. You free yourself of a whole lot of disappointment. I think humility opens doors all the time. When you're able to exercise true humility, it opens doors. It helps people's barriers come down. It stops people putting up their guards and all that sort of thing. Where I think entitlement says, well, you can wait till I'm ready to open the door. Entitlement puts up another barrier. But if we're able to put humility above entitlement, you'll be amazed at the doors that will open. Entitlement says you can wait until I'm ready. Humbled himself by becoming obedient. I think to function well with people in our world, for relationships to work. Number four, we've got to place obedience over desire. Place obedience over desire. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death of the cross. Did Jesus desire suffering? I mean, we sort of think, oh yeah, we knew what he was in for. But in Luke 22:42, he said this. He said, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. He placed obedience over his own personal desire. I think if we want kingdom relationships to work, if we want to be able to empty ourselves of ourselves, we've actually got to place obedience to God over often our long-term and our short-term desire. Because at that moment when Jesus was thinking, do I want to go to the cross? Well, of course he didn't. And he even petitions his father. He said, look, surely you're God. You must have come up with another way by now. If there's another way. But hey, at the end of the day, it's not about what I'm feeling right now. It's about what you want. And gee, that flies in the face of how we think at the moment, doesn't it? It's not about what I'm feeling. It's about what you want, Lord. And how can we say that? Because you know what? We know. We know that we actually serve a God whose will and desire is best for us. And we can totally trust that. place obedience to him over personal desire. The team can join me now. Feeling quite convicted to encourage us to start to decide that we're going to step in to that spacious living. Often at the beginning of the year, you can sort of get up, and particularly in the church world, we can start to, you know, sow vision and project what's ahead of us. And I think, you know, often at that time we're sort of feeling a bit ready for it, and oh yeah. But did you know the way that you finish a season will have a big bearing on how you engage with the next? And I just feel to challenge us as we go through this last season of this year. And of course, a year's only a delineation in our time. It's not that important in the stakes of eternity. But God said there are seasons. And I think the way that we are able to finish a season has a big bearing on how we go into the next. Jesus himself had a season in the wilderness, didn't he? Before he started his ministry, before he started to really see, you know, the power of his ministry start to flow, he had a season in the wilderness. He had 40 days of being tested and tempted and tried. But he didn't just wander off into the wilderness. If you read the Word of God, it says that he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And then it says that he came out of the wilderness filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. If we can be led through from one season, we're actually in a much better position to embrace the new season. I just get a sense where there'll be a lot of people here. You think, yeah, this is, you know, we've had a bit of a season where it's been a bit harder. It's been a bit, just stuff going on. And, you know, I feel a little tight. I feel like, gee, this one's been a bit of a grind this season. And sometimes we think, oh, I just want to get it over with. Let's be led by the Spirit through a season. Let's be obedient. Let's empty ourselves and be ready for what is next. Let's be ready to step into wide open, spacious living. Let's be not tied down by the expectations of religion, but rather live under the freedom of the Spirit. And I would like you to just stand right now. As the team lead us, let's decide tonight that we're going to empty ourselves so that we can be filled with the Spirit, presence, and the power of God. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus had, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. How did he humble himself? By becoming obedient. Even to death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him a name that is above every other name. And at that name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth. Wow. Come on. Let's decide that right now as the team leaders that we're going to allow ourselves to be emptied of ourselves so that we can actually be filled with the purpose, the power, the Spirit of God. Forget about your status. Forget about how you should be recognized. You know what? It's God who lifts up. Convinced that God is going to do something powerful in regard to our capacity. And it is all about us being ready, about us being empty, so that He can fill us. I've been getting text messages from Claire all weekend. And Claire and Andrew and some of their family and Dan and others have been at Awakening, which is at Etihad Stadium in Melbourne. And she just texted this, and it just, I don't always share these things, but I just want to encourage you. She says, someone called Jean-Luc Traxel from Europe just got up and prophesied. He heard a whisper that God is releasing a new sound from heaven and the church needs to turn up the volume. Then he said, Australia will be saved, Claire's written, was the statement. And then he just prophesied, nothing else, Tasmania will be saved. And recently, you know, we had a prophetic word that about Tasmania, that our sound is much larger than our size. You know what? God's up to some stuff. And I just think that, you know what, we haven't... He doesn't want us just to feel like we're just getting by. And our lives are so full that we're not ready for the unexpected. We're not ready for a new move of the Spirit. We're not ready for what He wants to be able to do and for us to be able to include in our world. Right now, we've only got a couple of minutes left, and I'm determined to finish on time tonight. But if you just feel like your capacity is rather stretched at the moment, come on, just step forward, stand out here. And I could leave you on your seats and we can pray just as powerfully there, but I want you to step into it. I want you to come and we're gonna pray right now. I'm just going to pray that there would be an emptying of the stuff and there would be a fresh filling of the Spirit of God. And I just believe that we're going to leave this place tonight with a fresh filling where capacities are going to enlarge. You know, there are people here and you're being called to step up into a season. You're being called to step into new things and you're thinking, oh, can I do that? Well, you know what? I just think it just comes with us being emptied. It comes with us being ready to live a wide, open, spacious life. It comes with us being ready to take stuff on, not stuff we've got to carry and juggle, but it's like, wow, there is space here. Come on, if that's you, just step out into that, and we're gonna pray and we're gonna believe for that.
Shadow you won't light up, mountain you won't climb up, coming up. No shadow you won't ride up, mountain you won't climb up, coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down, lie you won't tear down, coming after me.
Can we just keep our eyes closed, bow our heads? I just want to give an opportunity now. If you know that tonight you're not right with God, thing is, if you are right with God, you'll know. If you've ever come before Jesus and said, I believe that you're the Son of God, and I thank you that you died for me, that you were willing to take my sin, my rubbish, my rebellion, that you're willing to do all that, you'd know that you've done it. And if you've never done that, and I look around here tonight and I know so many of you, but I don't know what's going on inside everybody. And in this church, we never want to close a service without giving somebody the opportunity to make sure they get themselves right with God. That moment when your spirit can come in contact with Almighty God and be transformed in a moment. And if you'd like to do that right now, if you'd like to say, Jesus, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you died for me. I am sorry for my sin. I want you to come into my life. I want you to set me free. I want to accept your unconditional love. I want to know that I'm not judged, but I'm set free. If that's you, just while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just slip your hand up right where you are and say, hey, Dave, I need that. I need to know that I am loved. I need to know that I'm accepted by God. I need to know that I'm okay. If you've never done that, or you just, tonight, you're not quite sure where you're at with God, why don't you slip your hand up and say, hey, Dave, that's me. And I just will include you in a prayer that I pray right now. If that's you, just say, yeah, amen. Okay, praise God. We always do that. More often than not, we get people that respond to that. Who didn't tonight? I think the encouragement is, let's just keep including people in our spacious life that find themselves in a place where they can respond, that are actually drawn to the attractiveness of the freedom that you have in Christ. You know, you can't convince anybody just by smart arguments. But, gee, the love and power and freedom and peace that you carry on your life goes beyond all those things. That's what people are attracted to. Let's go and do it. Let's go and do it. Let's approach this last season of the year getting ready for, you know, what God's going to do. Let's start to decide that we're going to live those spacious lives. Maybe there's some practical stuff that's got to go. Maybe there's just some mindsets that need to change. But ultimately, it's about emptying ourselves and being filled with the power and the presence of God. It's been great to have you in church tonight.